Amen. Open your Bibles, please, with me today to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. We think together on this subject, can God trust you? This is the second message in a series of four messages. Messages 3 and 4, next Sunday morning and the following Sunday morning. Under this theme, trust, the heart of stewardship. Last Sunday morning, we considered this subject, you can trust God. And we saw that we could trust God because God is trustworthy. Today I want to turn the tables and ask this question, can God trust you? It is a question that every Christian ought to ask himself or herself. Am I trustworthy? If I am trustworthy, how do I demonstrate to God my trustworthiness? And there are various ways that we can demonstrate to God our trustworthiness, but one of those is given for us in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. It is an answer given to us by Jesus in the form of a parable. It is known as the parable of the shrewd manager or the shrewd steward. And I invite your attention as I read now from Luke chapter 16. I'll begin with verse 1 and read through verse 13. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. When I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes.' So he called in each of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'How much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No steward can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Lord Jesus tells us that stewardship of material possessions is one clear-cut and excellent way by which you and I can ascertain whether or not God can trust us. Now, surely as we read through this parable, you saw that this is not an easy parable to interpret. In fact, it is my view, and it is certainly the view of the commentators that I've studied this week, that this is the most difficult parable which Jesus spoke for our understanding. And yet, the Lord Jesus has given it to us for a purpose. It is for our instruction, for our enlightenment, to help us walk in the ways of God. Now, we need to remember that when we come to interpret a parable, the rules that govern interpretation lead us to say regarding the parable that it only has one meaning. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And some Bible teachers have misinterpreted parables because they try to assign interpretations of the details of a parable. We want to be careful today that we not do that, that we not make that mistake. What we want to find here is that heavenly meaning which is set forth for us in this earthly story. And I believe we can summarize it in this one statement. This is the essence of the message today. God will trust you to the degree that you show yourself to be trustworthy. Now let me say that again because I want you to make sure that you don't miss this. This is the heart and soul of what Jesus has for us in this portion of Luke's gospel. God will trust you to the degree that you show yourself to be trustworthy. I want us to work through these 13 verses this morning. As we do so, I want us to center our interpretation and our explanation and application around three eternal truths, and you'll find those listed for you there in the outline, sermon outline portion of your worship bulletin. The first truth found in verses 1 through 9 is simply this. A trustworthy steward is accountable to his master. Now look with me again in verses 1 and 2. The first thing we see in verse 1 is that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Now, if you go down to verse 14, you will discover that the Pharisees were on the fringe listening as Jesus taught. But the truth that Jesus was teaching in this parable was given not to unbelievers, even religious unbelievers, but it was given to the disciples. So this is a truth for Christians only. If you don't belong to Jesus, if you don't have the Spirit of God living within you, what Jesus said here is not going to make any sense at all to you because you don't think with a spiritual mind. But if you belong to Jesus, then you will think with the mind of Christ and you will be able to have the understanding which the Holy Spirit can give. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And this is what he tells them. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his, that is, the rich man's possessions. So we find two characters in this parable. There was a rich man, and he had in his employ a man who was his manager. He was a steward of the rich man's wealth. And in verse 2 we read that this rich man called in this manager. And he asked him this question. What is this I hear about you? Obviously rumors were circulating in the community that this manager was guilty of some kind of fraud or graft or misusing his master's wealth. And so the master calls him in and he says, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be my master any longer. And so we find that the owner, the master, says to his manager, you're out of a job. Now, give an account of your dishonest stewardship. Now, I want you to see here that in a very similar way, each one of us who belongs to Jesus is accountable to Jesus as our master. And I'll come back to that in just a moment. But let's look in verses 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and see how this dishonest steward, this shrewd manager, was looking out for himself. Verse 3, the manager said to his master, or said to himself, what shall I do now? The wheels in his brain are turning. He says, my master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. He's saying, physically, I'm not fit to get a job doing manual labor. And pridefully, I have too big of an ego to beg for someone to take care of my financial needs. Verse 4, he says, I know what I'll do. so that when I lose my job here, there will be people who will welcome me into their house. In other words, he says, I'm going to curry favor with some people who will help me out because I'm going to help them out. And then we find in verses 5 and 6 that he called in one of the debtors who owed his master 800 gallons of olive oil. And he said to him, how much do you owe me? Or how much do you owe my master? And the man said, I owe 800 gallons of olive oil. And this shrewd but dishonest manager said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 400. He just wrote it off. Wrote off half the debt. Verses 7 and 8. Then he asked a second one that he called in, how much do you owe the master? And this man replied, I owe your master 1,000 bushels of wheat. And this dishonest manager said, take your bill and make it 800. And so he was in grading himself to those who owed his master these possessions of olive oil or wheat. Now, that certainly is perhaps a practice that happens repeatedly, even to this day, in certain dishonest business circles. That shouldn't surprise us that it happened then. It shouldn't surprise us that it happens now, because the human heart is wicked and deceitful and dishonest. But what makes this parable difficult is verse 8. Because in verse 8 we read that the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Now listen carefully. Hang with me. Let's not miss this. Notice that verse 8 does not say that the master commended the dishonest manager for his dishonesty. He did not commend this man because he had stolen from him. He fired him. He commended him for his shrewdness. He commended him, if you please, for being worldly wise. He commended him for looking out for number one, for planning his own future welfare in this world. Look at the latter part of verse 8. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. Now, Jesus is saying to us here that unbelievers are more shrewd in many cases than are believers. At least in looking out for themselves in this temporal, transient world which is passing away. And you don't have to have a PhD to figure that out. It's true today just like it was then. The people of this world are those who don't know Christ. The people of light are those of us who know Jesus. Now, verse 9, Jesus says, I tell you, he's speaking to his disciples here, he says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwelling. Now, here's the point to be made here. Just as a trustworthy steward is accountable to his master, you and I who belong to Jesus are accountable to Jesus who is our master. Now, understand this when it comes to the stewardship of material possessions. This is bottom line right here. God is the owner of everything. And you and I are stewards of that which God owns. Psalm 24 puts it this way, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This world belongs to God. Every piece of real estate is His. Every stock certificate is His. Every treasury note is His. Every copper penny in your pocket is His. God is the owner, and you and I are the steward. James put it this way. He said, every good and perfect gift which comes down from above, from the Father of light. Now, you and I need to settle that issue. If you've not settled the ownership issue, you need to settle it soon. Because you'll always be in conflict about how to use material possessions which God has entrusted to your care if there's some doubt in your mind about who is the true owner. Let me give you this little one question quiz here in light of what I just said. If you made $500 last week on your job, how much belongs to God? Somebody give me an answer. All of it. All of it. Now, if you said $50 because $50 is a tithe of $500, you would have been incorrect because it all belongs to God. Every copper penny belongs to Him. He is the owner, and you and I, we are the managers. We are stewards of that which God possesses. I read of an American tourist some years ago who made a trip to Poland, and he went to visit a very prominent Polish rabbi. And he went to this man's home, and it was just a very simple place. It was a room filled with books. And the only furniture in the room was one table and a simple bench. And this American tourist said to this rabbi, he said, Rabbi, where is your furniture? And the rabbi replied by saying, where is your furniture? And the visitor said, mine, but I'm only a visitor here. Which the rabbi said, so am I. You and I are simply passing through this world. We are visitors on planet Earth. This is not our permanent, eternal habitation. We have a better home waiting for us in heaven. And God is the owner, and you and I are His stewards. And a trustworthy steward is accountable to God for that which God has entrusted to His keeping. Whether it is your time, your talents, your influence, your gifts, your possessions, whatever it may be, you and I are accountable to God for everything we possess. Now, some of you may be thinking, Pastor, I must be like this dishonest steward because I'm not using what God has given me as I should. I've not been a wise steward. Well, there is some good news. Our God is a God of the second chance. We don't have to stay that way. We can change. We can begin to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Hold your place here in Luke 16 and turn back to Matthew chapter 6. The best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, 20, and 21, Jesus spoke to this very, very issue. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, Jesus is simply saying, we only have two options as to where we make an investment with that which God has given to us. All we have is His, and we can invest it in one of two places. In heaven or on earth. And Jesus said, if we invest it in earth, everything that we invest in this world, we will lose eternally. But that which we invest in heaven, we will gain eternally. And then He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And for some people who have been born of the Holy Spirit, who do in fact know Jesus Christ, but who feel distant from Jesus and never have felt like they had an intimate fellowship with Christ, it's simply because they've invested far too much of God's wealth in this world and far too little in the world to come. Because if you will invest your treasure, your possessions in the world to come, your heart will follow your treasure. And when you invest it in heaven, your heart will follow your treasure all the way to the intimate presence of Jesus. Now, go back to Luke chapter 16. While you're finding that, know this. When Jesus says you'll have an investment in heaven, He's not saying there's a big vault up there and all of us have a section of that vault. Not at all. You don't go up there and find money. What is the treasure in heaven? Redeemed souls. That's what it is. You gave God tithe and beyond. You go to heaven. Somebody comes up and says to you, because you gave God faithfully of your tithes and offerings, Lakeview Baptist Church sponsored the Vacation Bible School in 1998. And a neighbor invited me to go to Vacation Bible School, and Brother Al shared the gospel on Thursday in the decision service, and I gave my heart to Jesus that day. That's your treasure. Somebody else comes up to you and said, because you gave tithes and offerings to the Lord Jesus through your church, Lakeview Baptist Church sponsored a youth camp at Panama City Beach, and friends invited me to go. I didn't go to church, but it sounded like fun to go to youth camp. And so I went to youth camp, and there I heard the gospel, and I was saved at youth camp. That's your treasure. Somebody comes up to you, another race, another color, citizen of the nation of India, said, because of you, because you gave to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, a missionary came to my nation and told me about Jesus, and I was saved. Friends, that's the treasure that we gain eternally. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Look in verse 9. He says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Eternal dwellings means your eternal reward with God forever in heaven. We are to use worldly wealth. We are to use dollars and cents invested in eternity so that we will receive eternal dwellings someday. I didn't say you buy your way into heaven. Salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ alone plus nothing else. But having been saved, and remember this parable was given not to unbelievers but to believers, having been saved, we share of our material means so that others may know the Lord Jesus Christ and live with Him forever. And we're accountable to God for that. A trustworthy steward is accountable to his master. And a trustworthy Christian steward is accountable to God. Not just for the 10% that you give in your tithe, but for every penny that comes into your possession. There's a second truth I want you to see with me here in verses 10, 11, and 12. And that is that a trustworthy steward must earn the trust of his master. Trust is not just a given. Trust is something that we earn. Look in verse 10. Here Jesus elaborates on this parable. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Now what's Jesus saying here? It's pretty simple. He's saying if you cannot be faithful in a few things, then God is not going to trust you with more. Like the drama we saw earlier in the service. Every parent of a teenager has perhaps gone through that kind of experience which we saw dramatized before us. A curfew is established. Parent expects a child to be home by the time that curfew arrives, but the curfew is broken. And trust is broken. And it becomes difficult for a parent to trust a teenager who is untrustworthy. in the same way, it's difficult for God to trust His children when we are untrustworthy with that which God has already bestowed upon us. You see, the more we are trustworthy, the more God trusts us. And the more trust we earn, and the more God gives to us. Do you remember the parable of the talents that Jesus gave? There was a parable that Jesus gave in which He said a man gave to his servants some talents. He gave to one 5 talents. He gave to another 2 talents, and to a third 1 talent. And He told them to invest it. And then He called for an accounting of what He had given to them. And they came back and reported. The one who had received 5 talents said, "Master, I've taken your 5 talents and I've invested them, I've doubled them. Here, 10. He was commended. "Well done, good and faithful servant." The man who had received 2 talents came back and said, "Master, I've doubled what you've given to me. Here are 4 talents. And he heard these words spoken from the lips of his master, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Then there was the man who was given 1 talent. And when he returned, he said, "Master, I didn't invest your talent. I took it, I invested, I buried it in the ground because I was afraid of you, Master, but here's your 1 talent back." And Jesus said, "You wicked, slothful servant." Now, have you ever wondered why the Master gave one man 5 talents and another 2 and another 1? Is it possible that the one who received only 1 talent was known in advance by the Master not to be a trustworthy steward anyway? And it proved to be the case, did it not? Perhaps some of you have not received as much as God wants to give you because you've not been trustworthy with that which God has already placed in your hand. I read this story that came from a church bulletin. Once a man said, "If I had some extra money, I'd give it to God. But I have just enough to support myself and my family." And then the man said, "If I had some extra time, I'd give it to God. But every minute is taken up with my jobs, my family, my clubs, and what you have. Every single minute." And the same man said, "If I had a talent, I'd give that to God. But I have no lovely voice. I have no special skills. I've never been able to lead a group. I cannot think clearly or quickly the way I would like to." And God was touched. And although it was unlike God, God gave that man money, time, and a glorious talent. And then God waited. And waited. And waited some more. And then after a while, God shrugged his shoulders and he took all those things right back from that man. He took back the money, the time, and the glorious talent. And after a while, the man sighed and said, "If only I had some of that money back, I'd give it to God. If only I had some of that time back, I'd give it to God. If only I could rediscover that glorious talent, I'd give it to God." And God turned a deaf ear. Folks, that's what Jesus is saying here in verses 10 and 11 and 12. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. Do you see, a trustworthy steward is one who earns the trust of the master. And so the question today is not what are you going to do with what you're going to get someday, but what you're going to do with what you got. What are you going to do with what you got right now? Why should God give you more if you haven't been a faithful steward of what God's already given you? Sometimes folks say, "Pastor, I'm going to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes and win that $10 million. I'm going to give God half of it." No, you won't. No, you won't. If you didn't give God 10% now, what makes you think you're going to give God 50% then? You won't do it. Reminds me of the farmer and preacher I heard about. Preacher went to see one of his members who was a farmer, and he said, "If God gave you 100 cows and asked you to give 50 back to him, would you do it?" He said, you know I will, preacher. He said, if God gave you 100 horses and asked you to give 50 back to him, would you do it? He said, sure I would, preacher. The preacher said, if God gave you 2 hogs, the farmer said, that's not fair, preacher. You know I got 2 hogs. Here's the question, folks. What you gonna do with what you got? A trustworthy steward must prove himself to be trustworthy. And by doing so, he earns the trust of his master. Well, 1/3 truth, and then we're done. We've said that a trustworthy steward is accountable to his master. We've said that a trustworthy steward must earn the trust of his master. Now, this final truth, quickly. A trustworthy steward can have only one master. Look in verse 13. Jesus said, no servant can serve 2 masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, either you serve God or you serve money. Jesus has the most incredible way of just cutting through the fog. Just clarifying the issue. Either you love God supremely or you love this world supremely. And Jesus said you can't have it both ways. For he said if you are in love with this world, and money or mammon represents the things of this world, if this is where your heart is, if this is where your affections are given, then you can't love God. You may say you love God, but it's not true. It's a lie. No man can love God and love money, Jesus says, at the same time. Dr. Edwin St. John Ward, some years ago, was a physician at the American Hospital in Beirut, Lebanon. On one occasion, a man came to his hospital who had been robbed by bandits. And in order to protect his wealth, this man had swallowed 26 gold coins so the bandits couldn't take them. And he had Dr. Ward to perform surgery so he could get his gold coins back. And Dr. Ward said of this man after he recovered from the surgery and was given his gold back, he said his eyes gleamed with joy. He loved money. A.J. Gordon was a prominent pastor of the 19th century here in the United States. He told the story once of a wealthy miser who went to an eye physician. He had cataracts in both eyes. He asked, how much will it cost to have a cataract removed? He was told. The man was so in love with money that he decided just to have the cataracts in one eye removed because he said, when I get one eye corrected, I'll see well enough to be able to count all my money. You say, now, preacher, those are 2 rather extreme examples, aren't they? You bet. But it is a reminder to us, everyone, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, money in itself is not evil. Jesus never said money is evil. He said the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. And many people who fall in love with money have pierced themselves with many a grief and have wandered from the faith. Money is a wonderful servant, but it is a cruel master. May I say to you this day that Jesus said you either love me or you love money, but you can't love both. A trustworthy steward can have only one master. Who is your master? Can God trust you? Are you trustworthy? A trustworthy steward is one who demonstrates his trust in God by the wise use of that which God has placed in His hands. Let's pray together.